Herzlich willkommen zu dieser Pressekonferenz zur Ausstellung Garden Futures. Wir haben heute hier eine Menge internationale Gäste, deshalb werden wir die Pressekonferenz auf Englisch abhalten. Wir werden aber nachher im Anschluss bei den Führungen durch die Ausstellungen mehrere Gruppen bilden, auch eine auf Deutsch. Da können Sie auch gerne Fragen stellen auf Deutsch. Hello and warm welcome to the press conference of the exhibition Garden Futures. My name is Matteo Kries and I'm the director of the museum. I would like to introduce my guests on the podium here. I'm really happy to have you all here. There is Arik Chen on the far right from the New Institute in Rotterdam. There is Philipp Kurz, he's the managing director of the Wüstenrot Foundation. There's Dr. Astrid Sprenger from Veleda. She's the head of the medicinal plant cultivation at Veleda. And there is exhibition curator Vivian Stappmans. Let me start with a few words about how the exhibition emerged. As you all know, gardens have a long cultural history. They are associated with the idea of paradise. They are idealized into a world in a miniature format. And since centuries, gardens are also places of representation, of meditation. They are resources for food or medical herbs. Many of us have their own experiences with gardens and gardening, childhood memories. We are spending some of the most peaceful and playful times in gardens. In the past years, however, a new understanding of the garden has emerged. Just think of the idea of urban gardening, of guerrilla gardens on empty urban plots, or vertical farms. The pandemic has shown how important a piece of land with nature can be when societal life is standing still. The growing awareness for sustainability and climate change has fed the desire to live in a closer contact with nature and to make our own contribution to preserve it. We have seen how more and more designers, artists, architects, activists and other creative minds have turned towards gardening and have created fascinating projects in or with a garden. And parallel to this renaissance of the garden, we have also created a garden here on the Vitra campus, designed by Dutch designer Piet Udolf. And the garden surface on the campus will continue to grow over the coming years. So all of this coincided and showed us that the garden is really experiencing a renaissance. And today, the garden is no longer just this romantic hideaway or this private utopia, but it has become a platform of experimentation. It has become a place of the avant-garde, a place of experimentation for a better future, for a sustainable lifestyle. A place where we can rethink our relation to nature, a place that is not only about nice flowers or plants, but about biodiversity in general, about the quality of life in our future cities, about natural resources, sometimes even about physical and mental health. So we decided to make an exhibition about the garden from this specific perspective. You could also say that we tried to explore the design history of the modern garden. This was a fascinating journey, and I will not go more into detail because we'll hear more about the concept and the ideas of the exhibition from the curators in a second. But to realize the exhibition, we joined forces with our co-producing partners at the New Institute and the Wüstenrot Foundation. And we have a long-standing relation with both institutions. For example, together with the New Institute, we realized exhibitions about Louis Kahn in 2011 and about Le Corbusier, while the Wüstenrot Foundation was our partner in crime when we realized an exhibition about Balkrishna Doshi, Indian architect, and on German design. Both exhibitions are currently still traveling internationally. So I would dearly like to thank Arik Chen, Managing Director of the New Institute, and Philipp Kurz, for this amazing collaboration on this topic that we all had a very shared and great interest in, although from different perspectives. And I'm interested to hear your perspective on the topic in a second. And I would also like to thank Vivian Stappmans and Nina Steinmüller and Martin Kolpers, the curatorial team from both our institutions, for their great work on this topic. After its presentation at the Vitra Design Museum, the exhibition will also travel to other museums. It will go to the Museum of Finnish Architecture at the end of this year. Then it will go to Värnamo in Sweden. Then it will go to the New Institute in Rotterdam, and then to the V&A Museum in Dundee in the United Kingdom. The exhibition design has been realized by Milan-based studio Forma Fantasma, whose founders, Andrea Trimarchi and Simone Farisin, will be with us tomorrow evening for the opening talk. And I can already tell you that I think you will see the signature design language of Forma Fantasma, which I think has added really a wonderful element to the exhibition. The graphic design of both the exhibition and the catalog has been developed by Lorenz Klingebiel and Dominic Kraus. I don't know if they are here. They aren't, no. But I will take this as the occasion to draw your attention to the exhibition catalog, which is a wonderful independent book about the exhibition that is, I think, available over there. And I recommend you to have a look at the texts and all the images, the background documents that are really giving another layer of research to what you will see in the exhibition. The realization of an exhibition and of a project of that scale wouldn't have been possible without the support of really dear sponsors and partners. And in this respect, I'm really grateful to our global partner, Veleda, for their generous support. Also with Veleda, we have collaborated previously on an exhibition about Rudolf Steiner, some of you may remember. And of course, for us, the partnership with Veleda was not only because of material support, but because for Veleda, a company is producing natural cosmetics and medicine, the garden is a resource for production. And on the one hand, this was interesting also to examine in the exhibition. You know, how is a garden working if a company is really based on harvesting things from a garden and turning it into products? And on the other hand, we also learned that the garden is a kind of metaphor for Veleda, for a circular thinking in circles, which is currently an idea that is, of course, entering the economic world. But I think in the case of Veleda, it has a very long history, which goes far more back than only the last years. And of course, we were also happy to profit from the expertise that Veleda has in gardening and in dealing with plants, which was also important for the research to the exhibition. Okay, for now, I would like to hand over to Arik Chen to say a few words for the New Institute. Please, Arik.
Great. Thank you, Matteo, and thanks to all of you for being here. As Matteo mentioned, I'm Arik Chen, General and Artistic Director of the New Institute in Rotterdam. Maybe I'll say a few words about the Institute in case you aren't familiar with it. We are the Netherlands National Museum and Institute for Architecture, Design, and Digital Culture in Rotterdam. We say we're a museum and that we have a collection, in our case, the Dutch National Architecture and Urbanism Archive and Collection. We do exhibitions and programs and so on and so forth, but we're also an institute in that we fulfill a number of sort of policy functions related to developing various threads of research and speculation, working on various sort of national heritage and other sort of cultural policy and creative industry policies. We work on talent development, internationalization, et cetera, et cetera. And I was recalling earlier this morning, as Matteo referenced, that in fact our relationship with the Vitra Design Museum precedes our existence as an institute. We were formed 10 years ago from the merger of three existing institutes, one of them being the Netherlands Architecture Institute, which, as Matteo said, hosted the Louis Kahn and Le Corbusier exhibitions that originated here more than 10 years ago. Now, of course, you know, since that time, architecture and design have changed. I think the way we approach and look at architecture and define architecture and design has changed. Certainly, our institutions have changed. And so when Matteo and Vivian invited us to work with them on this Garden Futures exhibition, we were extremely excited because it provided an opportunity to rethink something that we take so much for granted, you know, the notion of the garden. And at a time, as Matteo said, when our relationship with nature is probably the most crucial issue we can look at. Now, for the Institute, this invitation came at a time when we had just become the world's first ZOOP. A ZOOP is a model that was developed by one of our researchers that brings non-human interests and voices into organizational decision-making processes as a way of advocating more ecologically regenerative practices. And so, we were already thinking about, you know, how we as an organization reframe our relationship with the other beings that we share our space with. And Martin Kaupers, who is our senior researcher who worked, who curated the show with Vivian and her team, with the help also of Maria Heinrich, had just been given the assignment to explore what a national landscape and garden and landscape archive for the Netherlands might look like. And of course, in doing so, Martin has been very sort of rigorous and perhaps critical in thinking about these disciplines beyond their disciplinary and professional boundaries. So this is all great timing, and having just seen the show in real life, I have to say we're all extremely pleased with how it's turned out. We very much hope that you and all the visitors will leave the show, you know, seeing gardens in ways you never thought of seeing them before, and also, more broadly speaking, you know, think using gardens as a lens for rethinking how we not just conceptualize nature, but conceptualize our relationship with nature. I love how this show sort of starts talking about gardens traditionally as being enclosures of nature that protect us from nature. And then by the end of the show, you're sort of asked to wonder, you know, who are we protecting? Who needs to be protected from whom? Thank you again, Matteo, Vivian, and really the incredible Vitra Design Museum team for being such great collaborators. I have to thank, of course, Martin and Maria, and also our head of program, Flora van Halen, who will be arriving later today. Thanks to the foundation and Valeda for your support in making this show possible. And again, thank you for being here.
Well, Philip Kurz, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Matteo, for the introduction. It's great being after an English native speaker. I hope you will understand what I'm saying now. It's always a privilege to be here. It really is, working with the great people of Vitra, the big creativity that is here. My name is Philip Kurz. I'm the CEO of the Wüstenrot Foundation, a non-profit organization based in Ludwigsburg, founded 1921. By incidence, the same year Valeda was founded, I think, yes. And I want to say a few words why we are connected to this exhibition and why we are so happy that we can help, that it can take place. In our work, we have two main concerns that both have to do with the exhibition. The first is cultural heritage, be it immaterial, like literature or music, or be it material, like monuments, or pieces of art, or gardens. To give an example, we have already scientifically worked with different gardens, like the garden of Johann Wolfgang von Goethe in Weimar, or the garden of Friedrich Hölderlin in Tübingen. Both artists were very related to their gardens, very interesting projects to see. And currently we're working, between other things, on the gardens of the Weißenhof Siedlung in Stuttgart, which has a 100th birthday in 1927, and the impact of the gardens on today's life. Our second main concern is to share knowledge about cultural heritage and to enable people and to enable communities to face challenges of the present and of the future. Why? Because we're convinced that cultural heritage can be a starting point and a point of reference. And we think that this exhibition, Garden Futures, shows us that gardens have always been and will hopefully be forever part of every culture on the planet. Gardens have always, and Matteo has already mentioned that, but you can never mention it often enough, gardens have always reflected the political and the cultural values of their owners, of their users, and not least of their designers. And for us, the crucial point of the exhibition and the why we wanted to be part of it is the fact that gardens can give answers to pressing social questions. Like today, we all know that it's simply a need to explore new ways of gardening to be able to deal with our growing cities all over the world, to deal with our growing ecological problems all over the world. That's why, and Eric mentioned that, why for us, or for me, because I have already seen the exhibition, the room number four. The room number four is my favorite, because it makes this point very clear, and Vivian will tell you more about it in a moment, so I will don't talk about it anymore. But I'm finishing saying that caring for gardens increases our awareness for our natural environment and puts a focus on our responsibility for our natural environment. And we all know that it's the job of our generation to alleviate the tremendous ecological problems that we face of the only planet we have. And can we do so if we treat our whole environment as a garden? I just say room number four. I'm sure the exhibition will give you many aspects to think and reflect. And thank you very much for writing about it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Philipp. You told me about the Weißenhof Garden project that you had, and I find this really typical for what we also discovered during the research of the exhibition, that many people interested in architecture know the Weißenhof Siedlung, but as a place of architecture. And nobody is aware that this also included gardens, and the architects thought about the outdoor spaces, but nobody knows about this. So I think this shows how our perception was often very much focused on the materiality, on the architecture, on the iconic, on the clearly visible. And this is something we want to change with the exhibition, to look at what happens between the buildings. Okay, now I would like to hand over to Dr. Astrid Sprenger from Velleda.
Thank you. So one thing is clear, Velleda does not protect itself from the nature. We try to imitate nature. I tell you a bit about it. In today's language, Velleda was a green startup when it began 100 years ago with a few pioneers and a garden. Today, Velleda is a worldwide enterprise with 2,500 employees producing natural cosmetics and medicines. The 6 worldwide Velleda gardens are not only the main resource, but also the symbol for the company's identity that is closely connected to a holistic understanding of humankind and nature. For us at Velleda, the garden is an organism consisting of plants, animals, microorganisms, humans, diverse landscape, and the spirit of the place. We gardeners, with our expertise and intuition, take care that this complex organism stays fit and resilient. In practice, this means hard work with our hands, but this is deeply satisfying. In an organic, biodynamic garden, all is about circulation flows and regenerative culturing practices, with as little external input as possible. Each garden season starts with sowing the seeds of our last year's crops. It's a never-ending story of growth and decay. Whatever we extract from the garden, we give it back in another form. The heart of our garden is the compost. We harvest flowers, leaves, stems, bark, roots, seeds from around 200 species, which are the starting material for herbal extracts. The press residue of the extraction return into the garden and are composted together with other organic material in order to transform to organic fertilizer. We do not use artificial fertilizers or synthetic pesticides.
our own organic fertilizer, together with the cultivation of nitrogen-fixating non-crop plants, is sufficient to reach good yields. Biodiversity and healthy soils are our key success factors. The more diverse a system is, the more resilient is it to disruptions. Biodiversity means not only to promote species diversity, but it means as well to design different habitats, to offer protection, nesting sites, and good and food for insects, birds, and other animals. And biodiversity also means diversity under the ground, in the soil, with a broad microbiome and plenty other organisms. In fact, there are more living organisms in a handful of healthy soil than there are human beings on Earth. Only healthy soil can fulfill its functions, such as retention of water, absorption of nutrients, and carbon storage. And only healthy soils produce healthy plants of high quality. It is a matter of fact that all the world's topsoil could become unproductive within the next 60 years if current rates of soil loss continue. Moreover, we are in the midst of the sixth mass extinction of species, and this is man-made. This week, the UN announced that climate change is progressing faster and its consequences are more devastating than previously thought. So, the challenges could not be bigger. They are the result of our alienation from nature, our failure to appreciate how complex, sensitive the interdependencies of ecosystems are, and of our constant over-exploitation. So, how can we contribute to heal the Earth? The principles of organic gardening show us how it works. The same are key for a new economy. Proper resource management, circle economy, real sustainability, regenerative processes, and sufficiency. The knowledge about solutions is there. So let's put the rubber boots on and go for it.
Thank you. Well, Vivian, now we're all curious to hear a bit more.
Yes, well, thanks for preparing the ground for me in true gardening fashion.
Yeah, that's
yes, exactly. So, I am part of the curatorial team that worked on this exhibition. It's really important to point out that it was a team effort, as has been mentioned. I will point out a few names because there's so many of you that you will be going on tour. So there's Nina Steinmüller, who is my co-curator here. She will do a second German tour also, and Martin Kuipers and Maria Heinrich, who are back there from the New Institute,
who will be leading
the English speaking, or who will be doing an English tour later on. There are many more people involved in this exhibition. I will point to them when we go on the tour. It's a little bit too little time to just mention every contribution. As Matteo said before, here at the Vitra Design Museum, we've made it our mission to explore issues and themes and stories around design. So we've done this in many exhibitions over 30 years, and why explore the garden? I think it's already become pretty clear, but I will reiterate it. The idea, as Matteo said before, probably came to us when the Udolf Garden opened in 2020. It's a kind of a nice example of how things can work here in this place. We get one thing inspires the other. And so we started thinking about gardens. This opening also happened during the pandemic, which was a time where many of us turned to gardening and to nature and kind of found solace in these places. But there's a much broader issue at stake here, which has also been mentioned before, so I'll try and keep it brief. Today, in the face of climate crises and environmental disasters, we all feel that we need to rethink our relationship to nature as individuals, but also as a society. and we need to find ways of thinking, of living with nature more harmoniously. But we, I suppose, all of us are asking ourselves, how can we practically do that? And that's what design is about, practice. So, and this is what this show is about, how to practice that. So what better place to look at the garden, really? Because the place is, as you mentioned before, the garden is a place where we've always negotiated our relationship with nature, and the way we design them is an expression of that relationship. So that's the underlying question of garden futures, really, that we as a curatorial team kept asking ourselves for the past year. If gardens are always an expression of our relationship with nature, what could or should or will gardens look like today and from here on in? To answer that question, we will also look at the past, and we will bring together works, or we are bringing together works of everyday culture, of art, and of design. Some are historic, and some were especially commissioned for this show. And we look at the design of gardens, of course, but also at the objects that were designed for the garden, because they too are an expression of that relationship and of the ideals. The exhibition is going on a long international tour, but we used the building here in Weil am Rhein, as we often do, to kind of set up the story. And because the tours that you're about to embark on all start in different rooms of the exhibition, which is fine, we've agreed that I will just give you a brief idea of that story across the rooms. So in the beginning, where many of you won't start on your tour, but you are welcome to walk the exhibition like that later on, we invite visitors to ponder their personal but also cultural ideas of the garden. A central piece I will point to there, which has also been mentioned before, is the garden fence. There are many more pieces, of course, but because gardens, as we think of them, have always been enclosed, perhaps not by a fence, but they're always an enclosed space. And that is, I think, a central theme that kind of will dissolve later on in the exhibition. In the second room, we turn to the idea that gardens haven't just been shaped by cultural or personal ideas, but also by ideals, but also by politics. It's way too big a topic. You could turn that into quite a few exhibitions, so we focused on just a few elements. We will lead you through those. And in the third room, we turn to actual gardens. We've chosen, over a long process with much discussions, 9 gardens that each show a very different aspect of how to approach gardening, and that will hopefully be an inspiration. And then in the fourth room, which has already been mentioned, we really turn to the present and the future. I've spotted a couple of designers here who've got some work there. I think they will be next to their work, so feel free to speak with them. I will point them out. So what becomes evident in this show is that we might need to let go of the idea that the garden is our very own space where we domesticate and tame nature, but that the garden might become a space where we realize ideas for a future that is more ecologically and sustainable and socially just, not just in the private gardens, but also in public spaces and in landscapes and cities. And that's in this fourth room, we look at this idea that the garden is no longer a refuge, but a place that permeates our cities and communities in a much more porous way. And this kind of space serves in the interest of plants, animals, and people alike. That was something that Eric touched on before. Before we take you on this tour that will give much more color to these ideas, I would like to share just one more insight that we had. What we realized is that gardens and gardening are a really great platform to think about design in general. As I said, it's our business to look at design and investigate those issues. And today, gardening is increasingly understood as an act of engaging with local conditions about nurturing and giving back. Also, gardening is always about a close collaboration with non-human organisms. So what we found is that that ethos of gardening could also provide a really interesting new attitude to the practice of design that I talked about before. One with a different attitude to nature, with a focus on collaborative action and small and local improvements rather than huge innovations. And most importantly, on taking really good care. So with that idea, we would like to take you to the museum.